Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And making his weekly visit at his weekly time on the fan hotline is Greg Brown. So we have a nice brisk 2.5 hour or so game to thank for everything working smoothly today. Brownie, how are you?
Chris, I'm doing great, and that's more like it. That was fun. It was a nice, lively crowd, entertaining game. Well pitched, obviously, timely hitting with the Marte swing, and so that was more like it. Win a series, and now get ready for the Milwaukee Brewers. Try and sweep the 5-game series would be a nice way to head into the All-Star break.
I mean, I don't want to go too far down the path of talking about this team because I'm excited to talk about so many other things with you, but yeah, it feels like a sweep of that series is honestly what would be needed to thrust them back into an interesting situation at this point.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Neil Huntington said as much on his show on Sunday that obviously 4-4 wasn't going to cut it, and I would think he would believe that 5-3 wouldn't cut it, and you'd almost have to think that in order for them to really get back in the race, they'd have to win 4 of 5. I think that's pretty obvious, and the only way to avoid, I think, some major changes by the trade deadline would be to do just that. But we'll see. And the old cliche, take it one game at a time. And they beat a Nationals team that's kind of floundering a bit right now. They'll face a tough Brewers club, and we'll just see how it goes. And you know, either way, I think it's fascinating time. It's a fascinating time to be a baseball fan because either you're in it and they make trades to add on, which you know Neil Huntington's been criticized, and I've backed him up, Chris, as you know. And Bob Nutting, I think that they have done their best to add at the trade deadline that has helped them in the past go over the top. So either they do that or they make changes to bring in some fresh faces, and I like that too.
A couple quick ones. We'll take care of the current Pirates right now with the line of questioning here. So a couple quick other ones. We just talked to start the show. They got great pitching today all the way around. 5 kind of gutty innings where he battled from Trevor Williams. A lot of people thought maybe keep him in for at least one more and see what happens, but that's neither here nor there. How are you looking at a bunch of mid-20s guys, which is the majority of this rotation, whether they're new to the bigs or not as, in terms of being starters? What do you look at as being kind of the cause of so far them not clicking the way I'm sure Neil Huntington or anybody else, Ray Searidge, Clint Hurdle, would have liked them to?
Yeah, I guess it's just being young and inexperienced and learning at the major league level. That's kind of from a fan's view, certainly not an expert opinion. I think it just tells you how tough major league baseball is. It's a grind, the long season. And I think we're seeing that. We're seeing that from guys like Williams. We're seeing it. We certainly saw it. We saw it from Musgrove. We saw it from Tyone. It's been disappointing. I thought that, you know, a guy like Jameson Tyone, and maybe I expected too much, but I thought he would take a huge step forward and he would be the so-called ace of the staff. And that just has not happened. What I find interesting, though, Chris, is it's this intersection between what you see from a scout's eye or a well-trained eye, baseball people, and the analytics. It's at a crossroads. I said this last couple years. We basically hear that Tyone was lifted the other day because of the numbers that show what they're doing the third time through the lineup. But at what point do you, and I kind of asked Neil Huntington this, at what point do you not allow a younger pitcher to gain that crucial experience to get through that tough sixth inning and over the top inning, get through and battle those previous numbers? Today is another example, though I will say today I thought Trevor was getting hit pretty hard, even though he was getting some outs. I understood more today getting him out over what they did with Tyone the other day. Even Musgrove, you know, Musgrove alluded to this in the post game last night. He was disappointed that he didn't get a chance to go out there for another inning. I at some point, I think you have got to maybe show some of that faith. Otherwise, when are you going to get that opportunity if you're a starting pitcher like a Musgrove or a Tyone?
It seems like a chicken and the egg thing. You say his numbers aren't good enough, but how many times will he get a chance? I guess it's more a matter of then if your team is up 6 or 7 runs or something, then he's going to get a chance to go out there and attack the zone that third time through the order without there being much consternation.
How often is that going
to
happen?
Right. I mean, that's kind of my point. I'm bringing up a situation I know to be pretty rare.
Right. Last
one from this game is Jordan Luplow gets the start, and I know Clint Hurdle said he wants to get him involved, that he'd been mashing left-handed pitching. I don't know. This is just me. I'm a Pirates fan that certainly doesn't really, all due respect to Jordan Luplow, a major league ball player, doesn't see him as a major part of any kind of plan moving forward. I would have wanted to see Austin Meadows today, whether Luplow is raking or Clint Hurdle wants to get him involved or not. I felt like that was a curious decision, just given what everyone wants to see, which is Austin Meadows in the lineup.
Well, I've been a big backer of this, and Chris, I said this 2 weeks ago when some people, this is before Meadows started sitting the bench, which he's done now. I think I mentioned today 6 of the last 7 games he's not started, so he's no longer really part of the rotation. It's almost like it's a foregone conclusion that they've decided, you know, he's not a starter right now in the big leagues every day. But when the question came up to Clint Hurdle, is the league punching back? Well, this is when he may not have been hitting for average for the 3 or 4 games, but he was hitting the ball on the screws every time up. And now he's being thrown to the wolves, pinch hitting against really tough pitchers.
Right.
He did it last night, and he got 2 more hits. It's like, what else does this guy have to do? Now, the one caveat is Polanco starts to catch fire, Marte catches fire, and Dickerson, since coming back off that the emergency list, he has also been hitting. So really, it's a crowded outfield, I will admit that. And now you've added another name to the mix in Luplow. It makes for a very interesting, difficult situation here. I tend to agree with you, though. It probably was hard for them to not want to bring Luplow up because his numbers were crazy the last 2 weeks. I would think, though, when you bring him up and he's hitting like he's hitting, throw him in the starting lineup. You know, he's sat on the bench now for 3 days. Now, he hit the ball hard a couple times today, but that's the other point of this thing. If you're going to bring him up, you better play him. The reason you're bringing him up is because he's so hot. What good does it do to sit him on the bench?
Couple more minutes with Greg Brown paying his weekly visit, and today's game was like 2.5 hours or so, and that makes it somewhat similar to Game 7 of the 1971 World Series, which was played in the daytime, which, as a guy born in 1985, it's inconceivable to me that the Game 7 of the World Series would happen in broad daylight. The game lasted 2 hours and 10 minutes. It was not, however, broadcast on Facebook Watch, Brownie, like today's was, but that's the lead-in to what you and Steve Blass have going at the Parkway Theater this Sunday, which I'm really excited to hear you talk about.
Well, Chris, thanks. Sunday night, and we thought it was a great way to kind of put a finishing touch on the first half of the season before the long break, before the Pirates return home. Following the break, they'll be on the road to Cincinnati and Cleveland. So you've got the big 5-game series against the Brewers tomorrow night, Friday night. You've got the doubleheader at 12:35 on Saturday with Milwaukee, and then you've got the finale on Sunday. We thought, hey, let's finish it up with this idea at the Parkway Theater in Stowe Township. When we did this in the winter with John Wehner and Bob Walk, where we showed the entire actual telecast with the play-by-play in the background and sitting in front of the big movie screen watching it with a very intimate audience at the Parkway Theater. And we go back and forth throughout the game, and we find out, it was so much fun this winter with John and Bob to hear some of the stuff that I had never heard before. They noticed stuff watching the game that they'd never realized, and they'd point that out, and just really cool, fun stories Of course, nobody tells a story better than Steve Blass, but here he is, the hero of the 71 World Series, the complete game. It was a second complete game win, and he'll talk all about, you know, Clemente and Stargell and what went on in Baltimore and winning that World Series championship. And it's a ton of fun to sit there and watch the game with the guy who was on the mound, to hear what was going on, to hear, again, some of the inside stuff. Earl Weaver calls timeout and brings the umpire out to the mound, and you'll hear that. You'll hear the announcers talk about it, and then Steve will tell us exactly what's going on. Again, it makes for a really fun night on Sunday night.
Now, I want to make sure. It's parkwaytheater.org. It says admission $75. This is a very limited event, but I see free draft beer, soft drinks, and a seat in the film. This just seems, honestly, Brownie, it seems super cool. Like a kind of a behind-the-scenes, VIPs-only sort of feel. One of the most famous games, really, in Pittsburgh sports history. And as a guy, again, that was born 14 years after this game or thereabouts, it's just so hard for me to comprehend that the game was over 20 minutes faster than today's and that it was played in the middle of the afternoon.
It's crazy. I know, it's absolutely crazy. And that'll be fun, too, just to sit there and watch all that as it happens. And I will tell you a little secret, Chris, that Steve and I did this a couple years ago at a buddy's house in 2016. He had the game, and he has a big theater room in his basement. And so he said, would you guys mind if you sat there and watched? And Greg, you kind of host it and ask some questions that come to mind. And so we did it. And that was kind of the impetus of this whole thing. Really neat to hear. Again, watching this game, for me, I've seen it before. It's been a long, long time. But some have never seen it. Obviously, guys in your generation. But to watch the game maybe for the first time in its entirety with the broadcast going on in the background, but with one of the players talking about it as it goes on, and giving us these little nuggets, these tidbits, these stories never before told or heard. It's a great opportunity, and I thank you for letting us talk about it, because it's going to be a ton of fun Sunday night. As I said, it's kind of like the icing on the cake for the first half of the baseball season.
ParkwayTheater.org for ticket info on that one. Steve Blass went the distance against Mike Cuellar, and Blassie would have been pulled, though, of course, at about 6 1/3 innings if there was any sign of trouble, if this were in 2018, I imagine.
And you're not saying that in jest. It's probably true.
No, I'm very serious.
It's interesting, too, because one of the things that I do talk about with him, having done this before with him, is to ask him about the bullpen. This is a very close, well-pitched game, but it's tight. And, you know, how many times does Danny Murtaugh, the Pirate manager, come to the mound? Who talks to you between innings? Are you even considering not finishing this thing up? All this transpires during the course of a very fast-paced evening back in 1971.
ParkwayTheater.org for ticket info on that. It's this Sunday with Greg Brown and Steve Blass. Brownie, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Hey, Molsey, thanks a million. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
There he goes, Greg Brown. There I go, making the Mark Cabali cardinal sin of saying there he goes when a guest interview is over.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.